Hey.
I love that you have your helmet on today. It makes me very happy.
We have the full armor of God on today.
Not the full armor of God.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm prepared. I have so many questions, but I'm going to just go ahead on and get us started.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Life Unfiltered, Heal That Shit. This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, love, grief, and the extraordinary journey of healing. We invite you to join us on this raw and unfiltered exploration as we share our personal stories, triumphs, and challenges to inspire and uplift.
Because in a world that often encourages us to mask our struggles, we choose to lead with love and vulnerability. It's time to collectively address our own shit and have some real conversations. So we're about to voice the things that you might not have verbalized or even thought about so that we can get to the root of the shit and heal.
So 2024 is the year of popping that shit. We have canceled being fake humble. We are not doing that. All right. So in that effort, we always want to be intentional in making sure that we share who we are and what we do. So my name is Kim Berland, and I am an educational advocate, activist, consultant. I am a virtual producer. I'm a motivational speaker, an intuitive melanated life coach. So I help people deepen their relationship with God to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm also a professional frolicker and an expat immigrant foreigner living in Medellin, Colombia, and tonight I am one of your hosts. What up?
Hey, yes, indeed. All right. Well, my name is Bianca. I am a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. I am a private investigator and a receipt collector, so please put some respect on my name. I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform. We empower, we advocate, we coach, and heal. I am an intuitive melanated life coach celebrating 1 year in the game and a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. And my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment. So,
very nice.
Amen to that. Amen. So we operate by the three keys here. Okay. All right. It's accountability, transparency, and integrity. These words mean things.
They do.
Okay.
They have meaning.
And they have real definitions and they have real consequences if you don't abide and adhere by them. Okay. So accountability, transparency, and integrity. And before we go further, we want to make sure that we're very clear about the expectations with the community agreements. So what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Okay. So what you can expect from us, the three keys, baby. We're going to keep it real. We're going to speak freely and we're going to cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have young listening ears in the room, grab some AirPods, some headphones, something. That's your business. But we just letting you know that this is a space where we're going to speak freely and what we can expect from you. Hate speech and comments are not welcomed here. Okay. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So we want you to be very intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this one is a safe space. We want you to engage and go on this journey with us. We are not experts, but we are facilitating the conversation and we want you to participate in the journey and bring people with you because together we are committed to doing the work to heal.
Absolutely. So we like to make sure that we let you all know how to interact with us. And one of the ways that you're able to interact with us is through emojis. So we want to be intentional in making sure that you know what those emojis are. So basically what it is it's kind of like, you know, how you like, sometimes I feel when I like a post or when I love a post that sometimes I need like a little extra. You know, like the like or the love just doesn't feel like it's giving, you know, so then I might have to make a comment and, you know, all of that, right? So if you're in one of those situations where you're like, we, girl, yes, that, all of that, sis, yes, right? And y'all want to give us like those superpowers of emojis, we want to let you know how to do that. So our community emoji is the heart with the bandage around it. Again, the name of this podcast is Heal That Shit. So we are about healing the heart, right? And you can combine that with any colored heart emoji that you want, but that heart with the bandage wrapped around it, that's our community emoji, and that lets us know that you are connected to us primarily here in this space, the exclusivity of it all, right? So that's how you can let us know you're connected to the community. And then individually, we have emojis. So mine is the crayon emoji and the sunflower emoji, because I am coloring the fuck out this life, at least I'm trying to, every day. And yellow is my absolute favorite color. Reminds me of the sun. So hence the sunflowers. And then Bianca, you're like dressed as your emoji today.
I know. Like, it's so adorable. So, okay. So we have the first emoji, which is the teddy bear. Okay. Because love is the highest frequency. I have a lot of love to give, and it is teddy bear season, baby. Okay. And then the next one is the emoji where the hands are making the heart, okay? My heart is something very serious. It's not anything to be played with, and it has survived some of the toughest obstacles, and we are still here and loving. So those are my emojis.
So as y'all can see, these like mean something to us. It's not just that we're, you know, choosing them just because all willy-nilly. Like, they actually have meanings, which is why when you use those emojis, when you are communicating with us, it means that much more because we chose these like with purpose. So we want to also make sure that you all know how to connect with us. So we are at Heal That Shit on all the platforms, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Patreon, Facebook, all the places is where you can find us. And then we also are audio only for those of you who are our podcast listeners. So you want to tell them where they can find that?
Absolutely. So we are on your favorite podcast players. So we are on Apple Music. We are on Amazon. We are on Spotify. You can actually go to our website, wehealthatshit.com, and you can scroll down to the bottom and you can find a link to all of your favorite podcast players. We're listed on there, baby. So you can find us, and make sure you rate us too, because that helps with engagement and for people to find us.
Absolutely. So any other announcements that we need, or updates that we need to give before we get into the things? Okay. All right. Cool. I just want to make sure and check. So having said that, I do want to jump into our spirit check for the day. And I'm very interested in what this spirit check looks like. So if you are watching us on the screen, you see these ratings. But if you're listening, I'll explain what they are. So green is I'm absolutely wonderful. Life is great. Blue, I'm good. I don't have any complaints. Purple, I'm okay. Things could be better. And yellow, I'm not doing so well. I need support. So the way that this works is you just take a moment to kind of search your spirit, and then you identify as a color, or maybe there's a combination of colors or what have you. So if you are listening to this or watching this later, we invite you to share that information in the comments. We do pay attention to that stuff. It might not seem, we don't make it a conversation piece, but we do pay attention to it because we think it's important to hold space for energy that might be coming into the space. So we're not here to judge, only here to hold space for it. So having said that, Bianca, where is your spirit today?
So I am a blue heart. I do have some sprinkles of purple, but I also have some sprinkles of green.
Okay. So I am also blue. And I would say it's maybe a tad bit more than sprinkles, maybe like polka dots of purple. So I'm kind of in that space there. Yeah. So let's jump into our transparency moment.
Yes,
you want to kick us off or do you
sure.
want me to? Okay.
Sure. Well, so I have been very adamant about taking my life back. That has been a movement that I started in 2019 after leaving my position at Hillsborough County Public Schools to take care of my mental health. And that was where I was very particular on making sure that I am focusing on my physical health, but also my mental health. Mm-hmm. And so I had a moment the other day where I was going back through some of my old photos and some videos of just content and just not being able to recognize who I was back then, of seeing who I was back then and then seeing the glow and how I am now. Mm-hmm. I looked at my 16 personalities assessment, and at one point I was a faithful protagonist. Mm-hmm. And now I'm a commander.
Mm. And what are the initials on commander? Do you remember?
I have to pull that up on my phone. I don't remember offhand.
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
And so being able to recognize the differences between how I'm showing up now has been great for me. This month has also been really revealing. This is Pride Month, so mm-hmm. just full of celebration of being unapologetically me. Love is love, and being able to freely love has been amazing. But also just having some really complicated thoughts about pride and what does that look like for me? Being in a situation where I was married and that was like a huge, you know, event in deal. And then now not being partnered in that way, it does hit different for me. And mm-hmm. so I have spent a lot of time reflecting for the past couple of days in June about what does pride look like to me now?
And what do you feel like you're coming up with regarding that?
So some of the things that come up is like proud of my growth. Mm. What pride looks like for me is celebrating who I am and what I'm standing for. It's also being able to look out for those that might not feel comfortable being who they are and mm-hmm. loving them and supporting them as they go through those transitions. I'm still processing it too. Mm-hmm. I'm still openly thinking about what does that look like for me, because mm-hmm. a lot of things have changed in my world and my orbit. And so mm-hmm. having to recalibrate and to process things has been something that I've enjoyed, but also has been a struggle for me.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what you would say at this point that you feel just specifically to the pride conversation, just because we're just having that one. What would you say is like the biggest difference that you notice between how you look at things now versus how you looked at things before?
So now I've had a lot more opportunity to be with oneself. So that has allowed me to really be very focused on my feelings, my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And not consuming so much external energy There was a lot of external energy in my previous environment, just due to the nature of what it was. Mm-hmm. And now having this type of stillness, I'm able to reflect more and my brain is not as busy anymore, mm-hmm. which could be a good thing or a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It depends on the day, but like I've really been focused on my thoughts on being with myself and being mm-hmm. happy with what does that look like. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey for sure that again, I'm still deep in reflection about.
Yeah. I have one more question though, if you're willing to to entertain it. You have mentioned, so it kind of goes to this, to what you just said about the reflection and understanding of who you are, because I feel like we're both kind of in that discovery process. So you had mentioned that you went back to your personality test. Well, first you mentioned that you went back and looked at old videos. I too have been taking some trips down memory lane. And you mentioned that you noticed that your personality assessment came back different. I wonder how you felt about that and what do you feel was the difference in it all. So you mentioned, you said at first it was protagonist. So for anyone who's familiar with Myers-Briggs, that's ENFJ. And then you said now it is commander, which is ENTJ. So I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
So when I read Commander, I was like really excited because I do think that there's a different process to how I think about things now. I am definitely more intuitive-led, spirit-led. And so I do think that there are differences in the way that I show up now. So being able to discern, like, yes, I am changing in that regard. And this is what's in alignment. I'm reading it and I do feel like this aligns with who I am and where I'm going. I feel more confident in myself than I've been in my past. I do feel like I'm able to make my yeses and my no's. I have been more firm on boundaries and been working very intentionally on how much I consume, whether that's content on social media or just overall food and people and energy. And just really just, again, balancing the frequencies here and just finding my alignment. So reading all of that, it made my heart happy because it was like, oh, you are changing. And these are the ways that you are changing based on these type of assessments. And so it makes me want to continue this journey of professional development, personal development, and to continue growing.
Yeah. Thank you for unpacking that, because I wonder, at like for anyone who is watching or listening, how frequently we go through the process of reflection and as well as the process of gratitude and learning lessons, right? Because like when we're in it, we in it and like we in it. But once we come out of it and go back and see, like when I look at old pictures and videos, I can see that I didn't have light in my eyes or, you know, I could see that I just looked tired or like whatever. I could see my weight was incredibly different, you know, so it makes me wonder what that feels like and how often we do that, because I feel like I'm always like document the things and
yes, go indeed. Back
and look, you know, because I don't feel like we do it enough. And I think there's a lot that we can learn by looking back at our former selves and seeing where we are now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you thinking?
So I'm thinking, one, just gratitude of having moments of stillness to be able to do that, right? Just even having the option to just sit and dream is a privilege and a luxury. And that's something that I just want to highlight and uplift, because I don't think that a lot of us talk about the luxuries of being able to do that.
Yeah. Remember then, we had did the thing when I was asking you about like your dream house or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I do. I remember that.
And I guess I didn't think anything of it, but you were like, I have not, I don't know. Like, I haven't thought about this stuff. And I'm like, well, girl, think about it. What you see when you look out the window?
Yeah, being able to dream and to really think through the thought processes and to take the positive ones and the ones that are not so positive, be able to reframe them or remove them out entirely out of your orbit, because life is life and people are people. And but I'm still convinced that God is still God, and that's all I got. Like, I'm just trying to love, live, and heal around here and just be the best human that I can be. So day by day, it's all we can do.
Yeah, I hear that. I definitely hear that. So anything else for your transparency moment?
I just wanted to uplift about my social media detox and how that's going.
Oh, yes.
Oh, honey. So still have Facebook on my phone. The app has me in a chokehold a little bit, and I'm trying to like remove myself from the app, but then also there's just certain things that the app offers that the desktop version doesn't. So those are intentional choices with the way that they created their platform. So understandably. So, I still haven't got back on Instagram, and I'm not sure if I ever, we'll do that anytime soon. But I am having conversations with people, because I've seen on social media, some people have been taking a social media detox and have shared that they have had so much mental clarity as they were away from social media. So there's quite a few people that I've reached out to ask them if they would be willing to interview with me to share their experience of them doing their version of social media detoxing and what did that look like for them and all of that. So I'm really excited to get those interviews recorded and posted for people to see, because I do want to uplift that while I struggle at times with my social media behaviors, we need to have a conversation about that, and particularly with our children. So I'm just trying to document the process here as I navigate this, but I hope that this opens more conversations about social media etiquette, digital hygiene, and overall security while using internet and internet spaces.
So I'm curious, what is it about Facebook particularly that keeps you tied to it, or like, what do you find yourself looking for when you go to Facebook?
Great question. So I love the way that I'm able to post photos on Facebook different than the desktop version. Okay. Aesthetically, the way that it's set up, it's more efficient, it's smoother. It's just a better overall experience doing that. Also, I do get messages from folks that are sending me, whether it's video reels, whatnot. And in order for you to see it, in some cases, you need to be signed in. I have a hard boundary with the TikToks. I'm so sorry, but I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to open these TikToks. And so they sit where they're at. But for the Facebook, some Instagram, I'm able to see the Instagram if you're signed into Facebook. So that's how I've been doing that.
So I guess I'm wondering, because you said you use language like it has me in a chokehold. And so I'm wondering what has you in a chokehold? Like, what are you, and I hope I don't sound like I'm patronizing you. This is like real curiosity. Because I'm also asking myself, like, what makes me go towards one app or another? So I'm wondering, what is it about Facebook that makes you say, I'm going to stay tied to this as opposed to Instagram, for instance?
So I've had a longer presence on Facebook. I enjoy Facebook more than any other platform. I guess it's like the brand loyalty type thing, where you just have a consistent, this is just what I go to. And some people will take that same thing, but like they prefer Instagram more. They actually like the UX of the platform and aesthetics more. And so they gravitate more towards Instagram. People just have their different things.
And I'm just wondering about yours. Yeah.
For me, it's Facebook. I don't know. I like the way that it looks, it functions. I like the people that I'm connected with at times. I like the groups that I'm in.
Okay.
I'm always on it. Yeah, I've always been on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I am as well. It's a platform that I definitely think I visit at least once a day. Mm-hmm. I ask myself though about, because I'm at the point where I've taken all notifications off my phone except for WhatsApp. So I had Messenger notifications on. I just recently turned those off. So I don't get notifications for any type of social media. Excuse me, but Facebook is one where I will remember to go over to Facebook. But also, Instagram is a place that I remember to go to. I think I've talked about before where my Instagram algorithm, I guess, if you will, based on the people that I follow, is different based on which page I'm signed into. So I might spend more time in one page's world than another. So I'm just curious about your reasons. And I'm thinking as a listener, right, and somebody who's like, oh, wow, she's really passionate about, you know, the social media stuff, of what questions I would be wondering of like, oh, she says she likes Facebook. I wonder what makes her go to Facebook versus TikTok. Like you were like, I'm not going to TikTok. Like, I wonder what it is that makes her have a hard line about TikTok. Whereas for me, TikTok is a place that I feel I feel seen and I can feel very educated and in the know about particular topics that are not otherwise amplified. So I do a lot of learning on TikTok. So I love being on TikTok, right? I don't see all the other crazy, that's not on my algorithm, you know? So it's like really interesting to me about what makes a person go towards one particular place, or even like what your YouTube algorithm looks like. Like those things, those conversations are really interesting to me. So that's why I was wondering.
Yes, indeed. And to your point about like the algorithms and how they fit for different people, like I want to have a room one day of different people and being like, so what's on your homepage?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be a really interesting conversation because I, for instance, I'm on YouTube all the time. Like YouTube is kind of like my TV. So I will be watching stuff on YouTube often, or it might be doing a deep dive. So for instance, right now I'm doing a deep dive into gardening and making like homemade products So whether that is soaps or laundry detergent, or would like, I'm just kind of in that space. So that's what my YouTube homepage looks like, along with Kev on Stage and Shits and Gigs. Like that's what we're doing over here. But that can look very different. It will look very different for every single person, depending on what it is that you consume.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, we should do that study about what it looks like, what y'all have on y'all's homepage. If y'all listening or watching this, tell us in the comments. Because it's very eye-opening to what people spend their time consuming. And also, though, I use YouTube like a search engine, and I don't know that everybody does that. So that there's that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway. There's some people that use TikTok like a search engine too, and they'll get better results on TikTok than they would on Google. So it's a lot there.
Yeah, I do. When I go over there and I'm looking to understand about neurodivergence, and right now my thing on TikTok is burnout, and because not a lot of people are talking about it. So that's another thing, is like, especially burnout for Black women, that's not really being discussed. There's a lot of burnout about like autistic burnout and neurodivergent burnout, but there's not burnout talking about being Black in the United States. So being able to look that up, I was able to see that there aren't, like, that's a void, and that's a space that, as a creator who talks about this thing, that I can fill over on TikTok, right? So I definitely use it like a search engine as well. And I think there's so much ability to curate what we want social media platforms to look like, and that's for ourselves. And that's why I think it's important to unpack the practices. What is it that is making me want to go here? What is it that I am seeking to learn, know about, blah, 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 whatever, like the metacognition of it all, so that I can deal with that and then choose what I want to consume?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. That sounds like a really great idea.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anything else on your transparency moment?
Mm-mm. What's going on in your world?
Well, I am over here. I told you about the Find the Frequency thing that's kind of resonating in my spirit. And I am in the process. I don't know if I was writing this or if I was recording a video or what, but I was saying to myself, I am in the process of designing my life, and designing my life in a way that is going to bring me joy. Mm-hmm. And I've had to go to the foundations of that, right? I was talking to this lady here in Colombia the other day. She has an organization that focuses on self-sustainability particularly for women here in Colombia. And when I was asking her, I was like, what made you come here? And she was like, I blew up. I burnt down my whole life in 2017, blew it up. And then I rolled out, and I just started laughing, because that's what it feels like. It feels like my entire life blew up, and everything. Like, so it was like, maybe I had a picture over here that I blow the dust off of that. Like, maybe I could use that a little bit. And oh, look, an ink pen. Like, it don't work, but I remember I liked green. Like, that's how I feel like I am in the process of putting my life together. But I kept thinking about it like I'm piecing my life back together. This is the type of language that I was using as I was saying stuff like, I'm piecing my life back together, or I'm putting my life back together. And I had a thought the other day, and I was like, that life that I'm talking about, I don't really want that life. I really didn't like it. It was fine. Like, I was doing stuff and whatever and making impacts and stuff. But like, if I at this point in life today had to sign up for that life, I don't want that life. I don't want to do any of that. To the point, I had an interview with a company the other day about teaching English. And I asked myself how much of the game I was willing to play. And I said to myself, I'm willing to play none of the game. Like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to have to, you know, send the warm email after the thing and do the theatrics and tap that. I don't want to do that. I really don't. Because I know what I'm talking about, and I know that I can do what I can do. And I do it excellently. I'm in a space where I'm not willing to do all of these theatrics for y'all. I'm just not. Like, I understand that I also don't really have a job for real. And also, though, I'm not doing it. Like, it is, and I be talking to myself like, is this arrogance? Or I don't feel like it's arrogance. I really feel like it's like, that is broken anyway. And the fact that we keep trying to feed people into this broken system is stupid to me. And I choose not to participate in this. And if that is what you require from me in order to be affiliated with your organization, take me out. I don't, no, thank you. Because the energy is off. The frequency is not, that's not my vibe. And I'm not going to be able to fit into someone else's system in that way, because that is not the energy and frequency that I give out. Like, I was talking to this lady and I'm telling her like the different things, because, you know, questions are not simple. If somebody is like, oh, well, what made you move to Colombia? Well, what do I say to that? You know, like, oh, I just wanted to try a new country. That's a lie. Oh, I came one time and decided to move. Yes. And also, but why? Like, how do I answer that? Right. So I gave like a very drive-by version of kind of just the work that I do in the U.S. The advocacy work is not always well received. And I chose to continue that type of work. And because of that, I have to live in a different place in order to do that. The response was like, okay, my next question is, and I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I want to have meaningful conversations with people that are making an impact, that are leaving people better than I found them, that are launching them into destiny and thinking about how they want to change the world and inspiring dreams. I don't want to have these low vibrational interactions. I don't want to do it. And it makes me just want to be by myself. Because it's not a lot of people that are able to dream with me. There's not a long list of people that I could be like, oh my God, I have an idea and can partner and bring that together, right? So I feel like I keep going back and forth between this idea of, do I just take my hands off completely and be like, okay, God, like, I paid the rent this month. And also, I guess we'll see what you got in store next month because I owe people money. Or do I keep getting out here trying to make something happen for the sake of saying that it happened, knowing with full certainty that this is not what I want, this does not bring me joy, and I'm doing it as a means to an end? So I feel like I just kind of keep going back and forth between that, and I keep having to remind myself that I'm supposed to be designing a life that brings me joy. And I don't know what that looks like. And I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing something. Or because it feels very, me and Kalanda talk about this all the time. By the way, happy birthday to my cousin, Kalanda. Today is her actual birthday. We talk about this all the time of being like, okay, so you need some help, or like, you need, like, faith without works are dead. So let me go do some works. But also, are these the works that I'm supposed to be doing, or like, and so I just feel like my brain just kind of gets tossed back and forth of trying to figure out what is I'm supposed to be doing, because this route, I know I can get the job. Like, I'm very highly qualified for that. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what might happen to me and my well-being if I choose to sign up to be in a space that I know is not matching what I really want my life to look like right now.
What do you want your life to look like right now?
I was like, I wonder what question she about to pull out of her teddy bear helmet.
Oh, hell no!
You love my helmet.
Your helmet is one of my favorite things. You know that. Bianca debuted her helmet right here in Medellin, Colombia. And it was the best thing ever. What do I want my life to look like right now? I want my life to be peaceful. And I want to create. I keep saying that. I want to be in a space where I can create and I can dream and I can help other people dream. And I want to be in a spirit-led type of utilization. Like, though there is structure, for instance, like if we think about like coaching that I do, right? There is definitely structure to it, right? You're going to get this good workbook, okay? You're going to read these here passages and scriptures. You're going to do this homework, right? But also, the flexibility of knowing that I don't have to be the one with the answers, that what I have to be able to do is to ask great questions, and I have to be able to hold space for learning opportunities. That type of stuff does not feel work intensive to me. And it is something that is very much my gift. And it is something that I very much enjoy and find joy in. So when I think about what I want my life to look like, that I want to be in a space to be able to inspire and to be able to create and create opportunities for people to connect back to their bodies so that they too can design a life that brings them joy. That is what I want my life to look like.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm praying and manifesting that you get all of that, that everything falls into place the way that you desire it to.
Thank you. I wonder what your response would be to that question.
I desire a life where I'm able to wake up and not have to worry about what bill needs to be paid.
Amen.
I would like to be able to wake up and decide how I'm going to do my morning routine and have the full freedom to pick whichever activity I desire and have fulfillment in it. I want to be creative in my work, where I'm able to pick the projects that bring me joy, and the things that I don't do either are outsourced or just outright declined because mm-hmm. I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I desire a life where I have peace in my environment, where I am being loved on and loving others. I see where I'm able to have different people in my world that love me, and I'm able to receive love in different ways that fulfill me and bring me joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I desire.
Where do you think that lives, this place that you just described? Well, you described a lot about people and what it feels like, but I'm wondering what you think is the setting for that place.
I don't know. I don't have a definitive location that pops up that's like, this exists here.
Mm-hmm. But are there certain environmental factors that you see? Or maybe there are certain environmental factors that you don't see or don't want?
I think environmental factors that I don't want is like high stress, high anxiety in my environment. So that could be like living in Florida could be a high stress, high anxiety type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
I would really have to dream about it and unpack that some more to really have more depth to it. But
mm-hmm.
I don't see it location dependent, but I definitely see certain non-negotiables.
Yeah. And sometimes I think before we know what we want, we know what we don't want. Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, when I was in Mexico City, I loved the parks so much. They were my absolute favorite place. And I loved the parks because they were so green, but I did not want all of the activity that was happening there. All the construction, all the noise, all the just hush, everybody hush. Like that's the phase of life that I'm in. Be quiet. Why you so loud? Huh? Why all these lights on? Huh? Sit down somewhere. Like I get it in such a deep way. Me and Kalanda were talking the other day because when I was younger, my grandmother, there were times that we would show up at her house. Now I'm young. I'm maybe, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, right? So there are times that we would show up at her house and she wouldn't open the door. And we could see like there was a pathway, right? So like if you're walking down the pathway, then the apartment is like right here, but also as a window to the kitchen. And I see you standing in the window washing the dishes, but you're not going to answer this door. Like you're not going. And as a child, I took such offense. I was like, clearly my grandmother hates me. Now I get it. I get it. Do you understand how I am going to pretend like you are not standing there if I'm not expecting company? You will be outside. Period. I don't care. I am sitting here now. Somebody could be at that door and I'm sitting here talking. And I'm going to keep talking. And I'm also not answering this door because I'm not expecting company. That is what I see. You got the plan to come and see me. You not just in the neighborhood. Mm-mm. We don't want to do that. I want to be up on, there's a mountain that is outside my window. This green is a green mountain. And there's a house. There's a few of them that's kind of up there. And I'd be like, that's where I want to be. Up there in the mountain with green. Leave me the hell alone. Everybody be quiet. So I just wonder, because it looks like something, especially when you're in a space of constantly being pulled on. And that's something, I don't know if you know this, but I'm just going to make it very clear. I'll be monitoring you because I'll be hearing you saying, yeah, everything's great. And I also be hearing you and, okay, girl, if you say so, because I know that there are still lots of things that are requiring your attention. And when that is the case, that requires energy to be able to attend to things and people and whatevers. So when I ask those questions, I realize that that might be very, very far from your reality right now. But I do think it is valid, you know, to think about what that looks like, because at some point you're going to have to be very intentional about making sure that you have that, because that is what your spirit is telling you that it needs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot. And so I just, for the folks that are watching and that will see this later, it is a lot going on out here. So stay prayed up, find your village. You better have your armor of God on, I'm telling you, because it's wild out here.
And is. So I wonder, you said that you went back and watched, and I guess this is our field trip, because I'm very interested in what the journey has looked like and felt like for us based on what we went back and watched and saw. Or whatever. So where is that? Oh, there it is.
So the first thing, one of the first videos I saw was the one that you sent me regarding the reflections for Discover Your Destiny. So
okay.
I had a very interesting time watching.
Well, tell the people what that was, when that was, all of that, because they don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so for context, we had a course, Discover Your Destiny, and that started, I believe, in December.
It started January, but we had started like prepping in December.
Got it. Okay. One of the first reflections as we were getting ready to start was in December. And each week we had to do a reflection based on what we learned and some of the discussions that happened during the course. And so, again, just plugging this in, I do highly recommend for people to go through this Discover Your Destiny course and to go through Kimberlyn in order to facilitate that process, because it is life changing. So watching some of those reflection videos.
So hold on, December 22. Through June of 23, just for context and timing. So you went back and watched, and watching those videos.
And watching those videos, I was like, wow. One, there's just a whole different light to me now. Two, I'm talking about some situations that I'm still going through now. In part of my reflections, I was talking about my father and his voice and how, you know, he was losing his voice at the time, and now he's had to have surgery and his life looks completely different now than that reflection video. Or when I was sharing about, you know, me carrying my legacy and what does that look like? And then having a whole moment of being like, you know, now I have to have a hysterectomy and now that looks different. And being able to see some of the things that I was thinking about back then to what I'm currently going through now, one, lets me know how resilient and powerful I am. And two, that God never left my side, even when I had thoughts that he did. So it was very surreal for me to see my old self talk about things that I'm currently dealing with now in different ways that I didn't imagine. I never would have imagined my dad dealing with what he's dealing with right now. And I never would have imagined finding out in the way that I did in regards to me having to have a hysterectomy so soon. So it was surreal to see. Then I saw some of my previous content regarding school board politics and the morning tea allegations. And I enjoy watching some of that content.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to bring that fun and lively vibe back with a twist and kind of thinking through what that looks like, but also being like, I'm a different human now. So the way that I articulate things, it's a little different. So all in all, like going back and watching previous content made me really appreciate the light that I see that I have now. And it has me full of gratitude of what is to come as I continue to navigate in this life. I'm like, I'm only 34 and look at all that I've been able to accomplish. So I can only imagine what is going to be next for me and how God is showing up in my life.
Yeah. Very interesting. Especially when you comment on the light. So I had started watching videos from Thanksgiving of 2022 when you came to Mexico City and we had the dinner where I was talking about the program and like all of that. And I don't know if I don't think I shared that link with you of that whole video playlist, but it was interesting to watch you talk because it almost in some ways felt like a performance at times. But then also I would be like, it was so long ago, like, is that just like who we were at that time? So like for myself, I was watching, I had watched those videos and then I had gone back to videos that I made as early as 2017. So when I first started writing my life coaching curriculum and like all of that. And listening to the words that I was choosing was very much, it's almost like, okay, I'm gonna describe it this way. One of the things that I hate like most in the world is when I ask somebody how they're doing and they give me like a disingenuous answer. So when people are like, oh, you know, another day, another dollar, you know, just out trying to get like you, like none of that is answering the question with integrity, right? So it like really, really drives me. And I felt like the way that I was showing up then was still very much another day, another dollar type of performance. Even to the point of watching the first videos that I made in December of 2022, preparing for Discover Your Destiny, I still felt like I was performing. Like it still felt like there was this layer of, not that I was being inauthentic. I think I thought that I was being authentic, but now being me today, I'm like, that's not me. Like just the words that I was choosing. It was a very, very interesting experience, like you said, to watch yourself in the past. And it's something that I'm trying to be like super mindful of is how I give myself grace in my process of growth and understanding and unmasking, if you will, because I think that's what the majority of this is about is the masking process of appearing to be whatever that's supposed to look like, professional, well-spoken, well, whatever. And then making a conscious choice not to choose to show up that way anymore. So I wonder, and having said all the things that I said, what's bubbling to the surface for me now is like, where do you feel like you are in your process of unmasking and understanding more about the core of who you are?
I think that part of the unmasking is still happening. As I'm discovering more of who I am and as I am demanding more from others in the way that they show up and demanding more of myself and how I operate. That question definitely has my brain people like twerking on the wall, because a part of me feels like back then still that there was part of a mask that was there due to fear of rejection. And as much as I've advocated and have spoken about living and being unapologetically you, there are still times where I feel like it's difficult to do that. And so how do you continue to show up the best way that you can and to be as vulnerable as you can be without harming yourself in the process? I've definitely learned that like what levels of transparency matters. And that certain people are only able to receive a certain level of transparency. And those are intentional conversations that need to be had so that there's alignment in that. But like, these are lessons that I'm learning as I'm navigating this life. So yeah, you definitely have me thinking and reflecting.
Yeah, I wonder the same things for myself, because I do feel like it is a continual process. I also now understand when people say a midlife crisis, I get it now. I get it. Because if you've spent the entire first half of your life being somebody that somebody told you that you had to be, that is starkly different from who you would ever choose to be. People get tired. Can't do this no more, right? So that is like what a midlife crisis looks like. And I think that I hope that we become more aware of what that means and what the indicators of that are, so that we aren't requiring people to show up in an inauthentic way to lead to this crisis. But I ask myself like these types of questions all the time, because I honestly don't know a lot about who I am today, right? Like, I'm still figuring this out, like as I am today. And I think that there are some, I know that there are like core tenets, right? There are core things that we are committed to, the three keys, you know, like that's, those types of things don't change. But for instance, you mentioned something like speaking up in the end about your boundaries and being like, yeah, so this isn't in alignment and this isn't going to work for me, right? I think that is a continual process that we continue to perfect as we go through it. So even like, I remember telling y'all this in life coach certification, just because you're a life coach don't all of a sudden mean that you got life figured out. That is not what this means. What this means is you are warning people, hey, Now I done did this way, and it worked for me. And also, if you like following these footsteps that I left, then you won't have to worry about all the other dangers that's out here, because I got you. Okay. Now that's what a life coach does, and to ask you the questions. That doesn't mean that a life coach don't have a life coach, because they should. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden all of your problems go away and now all of a sudden you understand life. Like, I feel like it's a continual process. We just become more willing to interrogate our thoughts and ask ourselves those questions so that we are able to better articulate a response or better show up for ourselves. So, yeah. I'm going to pause there because I was about to take a hard left, but I don't know if you have anything else that you want to say about what I just said.
I will say, like, in this very vulnerable moment, like, I had times where I struggled of calling myself a life coach with everything that I had going on, of being like, how can I help people find their freedom and fulfillment? And right now, I do not feel anything of freedom. And so it's very real. So I'm glad that you uplifted that. But then also knowing that not everyone's going to have all of this figured out, and like having these courageous conversations of being like, you don't have it together. Okay, neither do we. But we're going to make a commitment to be the best humans that we can be in this journey and keep it moving. And that's what I hope that these conversations continue to be, because what is happening outside and around is absolutely wild and out of control. And it is, if people could just take a moment of stillness and be like, okay, these are the three keys I'm going to honor moving forward. Mm-hmm. I feel like we could make this world such a better place, and people can actually do the work to heal, because all the harming that's happening, it is killing us.
It is literally. How about, I don't know if we had talked about this over here, but there is a schoolmate of mine that passed away a few weeks ago now, might be a month now. She was on American Idol. Her name is Mendisa. She was on American Idol and became a really great Christian recording artist. And she passed away a few weeks ago. And of course, like many people that we went to school with, they made posts about her and, you know, what have you. I only had the opportunity of knowing her for 1 year. So we had sang in a choir together, but I just remember her just being a very kind person, and she could sing just so beautifully. And she had a really beautiful smile and just a good energy. Having said that, an article came out the other day that said that she was in her home for 3 weeks dead before she was found. And a part of me was like, I didn't need to know that. But the other part of me was like, this is what I was talking about. Is what I said when I lived in Pennsylvania. It's what I said when I lived last year here. Like, something could happen to me and nobody would know for weeks, right? And I noticed the intentionality in your communication. I want to be very fair in saying that. And she was like, oh yeah, okay, good morning, ma'am, every morning. Hello. How you doing? How your spirit? What's going on? Right. I appreciate that very much. But it just made me think about, it made me think about the people that we choose to surround ourselves with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's another like meme or whatever that goes around, and it's like, can people hear your silence? That is something that I do feel like I am very good at hearing, right? Because, and it's actually, come to find out, it's a trauma response, because had living a very unstable life as a child and always walking on eggshells, I became very good at hearing what was being said as well as what wasn't being said, reading body language, like all of that, like a spidey senses be together. But it just makes me wonder about the people that we have in our community, in our network, in our village. And are we, one, able to be transparent and have emotional integrity in sharing what we are feeling, but also are we able to hear when someone isn't themselves, whatever that looks like? Like, are we able to sense that and pick up on that? Are we being intentional in our communication? If I'm asking how you're doing, am I really listening to hear how you're doing? Or am I just asking because that's the thing to do? You know, I hate that. So it just makes me wonder, like, how we're showing up for the people that we say that we care about. Because nobody, in my opinion, should be in a position where days have gone by and nobody knows that they weren't alive anymore. Like, that just, it shouldn't be, but I do believe that it is very possible to be. And my life is one of the lives that I think is very possible for that to happen. But I just hope that it will make people have a different type of intentionality with who they have around them and how you interact with the people that you have around you.
Yeah. One of the assignments that I believe that we have gave in this podcast was to do a village audit.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I've had to make decisions as far as who has what type of connection to me. What does that look like? And doing what I call define the relationship, a DTR, of making sure that we have alignment and what it is that we're doing in our intentional connection with each other. So it's really important for me to be surrounded by energy that is not going to deplete me, and to provide me a deficit in my joy. Yeah. I want definite deposits and people feeding into my joy. And so that's really important to me. And I had to really make some hard decisions about what was going to be in my space and not, because that's important.
You mentioned, you often will mention like that you feel like the root of your, some of your decisions has been rejection. I don't think it's rejection for me. I think for me, it is abandonment, like feeling like I'm alone. So I feel like I had to become very, very okay, even more so than I thought I was okay with being with myself, because I noticed that I would stay too long, make excuses, give extra grace that grace didn't need to be given to based on, but I don't want to be dead for 3 weeks and nobody knows that I was. So at least this is somebody that knows, right? As opposed to trusting that the people that are on the same frequency will find me. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've also been like getting these instructions to, we'll talk more about what frequency you're on so that the people can find you, right? Like, make some noise so that they can match your energy, type of thing. I think that's kind of like the phase that I'm in right now, because for far too long, it was kind of like at least I have a friend. At least somebody calls me a best friend. At least whatever, you know, like it was always with that type of energy because I am used to people just being like, and I'm done with you. Goodbye. Right. So, but also I've been working on recognizing those types of tendencies before I even allow you to get too close. You know what I mean? Because I know that my presence agitates because you're not going to be able to be regular around me. Like you just, you're not. I don't do it. You're not going to be able to give me no surface ass answer. You're not going to be able to just have small talk with me. Like I'm not going to participate in that. So because of that, it requires work. Like I was talking to a guy here and he was like, you are the first person in my life to ever ask me about like the details of, because I said, how's your spirit been, right? Because when I was asking, oh, how was your day? Oh, it was fine. It was regular. I don't know what that means. So then I was like, how your spirit doing? Normal. You need a feelings wheel? Like, what resources? I'm going to need some words, right? But he said to me, you're the first person in my life to ever ask me that. And because I live in this world where I'm continuously having meaningful conversations with people, I forget that everybody doesn't know how to have those types of conversations. And everybody isn't necessarily willing to go into their brains and figure out how their brains function. They're just fine with not knowing, right? And I have to realize my curiosity can be seen as something negative, insert whatever label, you know, like I have to remind myself that everybody don't look at the world like me. And because of that, it is better for me to be with me as opposed to being with people who do not vibrate at the same frequency that I do. And now I'm put in a position where I feel like I have to give disclaimers and I have to, you know, talk about, give you all these warnings. Just so you know, sometimes I talk to my brain people and they be out here twerking on the walls. You know, like I got to give all of these things, you know, as opposed to introducing the concept to somebody and be like, let me think about my brain people because they be all, you know, like, how do we find that the frequency of the people that do align, right? So to your point of a village audit, I feel like it's a continual process that we need to do. Because especially as we continue to unpack and discover who we are, that is going to continue to change, right? Because some things are going to become more important to me. Some things might be less. And where are the people that align? Alignment is what we're looking for.
Yeah. Alignment, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Because let me tell you something. When stuff is out of alignment, that costs a lot of money. Now, I don't have a car no more, but I know when them wheels used to be out of alignment and you ain't going to get it fixed, it was going to be, I could hear my daddy now. Go do it now, because if you wait, the axle going to be jacked. You got to buy new tires. You got to do all of that alignment. Peace is supremely important. And it's the piece that I think we suppress the most. Because again, for whatever reason, whether it be rejection, abandonment, fear of being alone, da, 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 whatever, like whatever the reason is, I'm going to just keep this. I know it's not quite the right frequency, but I'm going to keep, maybe I could turn down a little bit or they could turn up and then, and it's like, no, it's not. That's not it.
Yeah.
And I'm very much over trying to force things to align that do not.
Yes.
Very much.
Yeah. If it's not in alignment, you feel it in your body.
Yes.
And that uncomfortable feeling.
It's trash. Like even to the point, I don't remember what was happening the other day, but I realized that I wasn't breathing. And I said to myself, now, when is the last time that you wasn't breathing, sis? Like, what is going on? Like, I don't want to feel that way anymore. Like, after, I guess for me, this season of it being a year since, you know, and I would assume that you're having the same type of thing. It's been a year since. It being a year since not even knowing which direction is up and what day it is and how I spent 3 months of my life, I don't even know. Like, being on the other side of that, I am unwilling to invite situations, people, experiences into my life that are going to make me feel that way again. I cannot do that. And that's why I said, coming full circle back to, I'm on this line of, God, what do you want me to do? Because I know this is not in alignment. I know it's not. But also, there is bills that got to be paid, sir. What is you doing, mama? Yeah. But I feel like the alignment in it all is the bigger, lesson, I guess. What you thinking?
So I'm thinking a multitude of things. I'm thinking about how it is so taxing on the body, mentally, physically, and spiritually, of trying to keep things in what it might appear as alignment, but it is not. Mm-hmm. Then I think about the strength that it requires of actually shifting and pivoting and finding alignment again, and whatever that might look like. That process is tough. Mm-hmm. And then as it relates to, as you were talking, I was wondering, what does that alignment look like for you? As it relates to this season that you're on now and where you're headed, and what does that alignment look like for you? And what are those different pieces that need to come together for you to find that freedom and fulfillment in all of it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hella pieces, I can tell you that. And I'm willing, you know, to spend the next 2 weeks thinking about it. It's the pieces that be having me all fucked up, to be honest, because I'm somebody who gets like decision paralysis. Mm-hmm. So, and my brain gets stuck. So if I don't understand how something works or how to make it make sense, I can't just move on to the next thing. You know, some people, you know, how, like when some people be reading and they don't really like know how to read, they're not a fluent reader or whatever, and they read and it's like, they might be like, they might be like, and and yeah, and then they just move on. Like, I be like, I need to know what that says. So I struggle with not being able to make it make sense. And there's a lot right now that ain't making sense. So I don't know what to do, because all of them pieces, it literally feels like a jigsaw puzzle and all the pieces were just tossed into the air. And it's like, okay, I got the end pieces. I got the ends. I got the corners. Okay. And I got the ends. This middle, I don't know. And that's where I pray for people to enter my world that do know and can help to make it happen, because my brain gets stuck in the things that I don't know. I know what I know, and what I don't know, I do not know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I will be intentional in thinking through that and writing those things down.
It reminds me of these journal prompts that we worked on and how that needs to be published on the website soon. So this is a note that is going to be on wehealthatshit.com. The work is done. It just needs to be in a format to where it's easy for people to download and have access to. So while you're reflecting on that in the next 2 weeks, during these 2 weeks, I'm going to make sure that that gets done because that's really important for us.
Amen. We've done so much work that is just sitting in a Google Drive somewhere.
It's wild.
Just waiting on something to give so that we can focus. But that's what led me down trying to look through all those videos because I was trying to clean out my storage. So then I was like, what is this? Oh, wow. Let me move this. Let me upload that. Like, it was a thing, but it also reminds me very much of the amount, the intentionality that we have had behind the type of work that we do. And the fact that once the pieces move into place, the roadmap is already there. Like, we've created so many roadmaps to things. Mm-hmm. I just need the people to be in place to help those things come into fruition. So having said that, if you see yourself and you like, hey, I could probably help with that, I'm going to need you to reach out. Say it in the comments. Send us what's the email? Is it Heal That Shit? What's the email? LifeUnfilteredHealThatShit@gmail.com?
Yeah, it's always spelled out.
Send an email, get in the comments, and let us know if you are like, I have a desire to help some things come into fruition, if you're good with logisticals and systematizations in such of being able to bring some of these courses that Bianca and I have created, courses and experiences and internships and podcasts. And like, y'all, is in the Google Drive. Okay. We just need people to help bring it into fruition. All right. So if this is you, please do holler at us. All right. So again, LifeUnfilteredHealThatShit@gmail.com. All right. Is how you can help us and help the culture and the things. All right. So having said that, if y'all looking for me, if you looking for me, here I go. You can find me at Kimberlyn J on Instagram or and mostly at Minding My Black Ass Business on Instagram, YouTube, and the websites and such do have merch, okay? And I'm just constantly reminded, y'all, all we be trying to do is mind our Black Ass Business in real life. And people be having stuff to do and say. That is what inspired Minding My Black Ass Business. So if you resonate with that, go on over there to the website. And also, there are some other lines that are there if you are anti-cussing. So there's some other ways that that you can be involved with that. But Minding My Black Ass Business, as well as Kimberlyn J on Instagram. Where can the people find you, Bianca?
They can find me at www.biancagoolsby.com. On the website, you can find links to my different ventures and articles that I've published.
Sounds good. So, y'all, we continuing to do this work and figuring out what these design lives look like. We would love for you all to let us know what your journey looks like in the comments as well. Please do share, subscribe to our pages. Let people know that you heard something over here that made you think about something. Send them a little timestamp, little clip. Let them know. You know, oh, they was over there talking about the midlife crisis over there on the hill, that shit. Let's spread the wealth and share the wealth so that we are able to do this work together to heal. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. Y'all, appreciate y'all for hanging out. And we'll see y'all in the comments.
And you know that's Juneteenth, right?
Is it?
Yeah. We'll be back on Juneteenth. So I thought that our next episode would be great to actually talk about what freedom looks like and dreaming and what does it look like after we dreamed. So y'all's assignment is to sit and have a moment of stillness and dream, because that's what we're going to be doing. Dreaming about what you want your life to look like, particularly closing out the end of this year.
Well, amen. All right. Well, I'm here for it then. So we'll see y'all on Juneteenth.
Yes, indeed. Bye. Until next time.